Shalom Aleichem. Welcome, everyone, as we prepare for Shabbos Parshas Shelach. Let me begin by excusing myself for the background noise. I am on the road, speaking to you from a cell phone, and I hope the message comes through loud and clear. I'd like to begin in talking about the Meraglim to discuss something that's not in the Parsha, something very much missing. The discussion of the Parsha is a discussion of whether Klal Yisrael should go forward and do battle to enter Eretz Yisrael. It's a discussion of the fruits of the land, of the cities of the land, Habamachim in Bimistarim. But why does a Yid move to Eretz Yisrael? A Yid moves to Eretz Yisrael because it's Kedushas Eretz Yisrael. Because of Eretz Yisrael being such a unique place on the globe. That seems to be missing from the entire parasha, the entire discussion. Nobody talks about Kedushas Eretz Yisrael as being the necessity for Klal Yisrael to enter Eretz Yisrael. And that which is missing is the biggest kashta of all. Ta'amei Nachal, in this week's parasha, answers the question, but he prefaces it by discussing a kashta on last week's parasha. Last week we learned about Klal Yisrael moving from place to place in the Midbar. They took apart the Mishkan and moved, and they put the Mishkan up again in a new location. The Kasha, which was already mentioned in the Gemara, is that the Malacha, the 39 Malachas are learned from the Mishkan, and the Malacha of space there, of taking something apart, destroying a building, which is one of the Malachas on Shabbos, is only considered a malacha if, in the language of the Gemara, a person is placed there, al-minas livnais v'makaymai. Someone destroys a building in order to rebuild in its location. And the question is that in the Midbar, when they took apart the Mishkan, they did not take it apart to rebuild it in the same location. And since we learn all malachas from the building of the Mishkan, how could it be that there is a malacha of destroying Tzayster Al-Manas Livnais the Mekayimai, destroying in order to rebuild at the same spot, if in fact that never happened in the case of the Mishkan? Because I'll answer that Al-Pi Hashem Yachanu Al-Pi Hashem Yisro, that they actually did take things apart and put them together again in the same place. They were traveling in a desert. Wherever Klal Yisrael encamped was a place of Kedusha, a place of holiness. The Gemara says that even in Chutz La'aretz, even when it is outside of Eretz Yisrael, in a place which is designated as a place for davening or a place for learning, a Beis HaKnesses or a Beis HaMedrash, he is considered as if he is in Eretz Yisrael. Remind Yirvu Yemehem, Yemehem. It says that a person has Arichas Gomim if he is in Eretz Yisrael. Rav Yochanan commented, Ichas Abi B'Babel. There are people who get old in Babel because of the bracha of Laman Yirbu Yemechem, because of the blessing of having long days, because these people are in the shuls in Chutz La'aretz. And when somebody is in a Beis HaKnesses and Beis HaMedrash, someone spends time in the Batei Midrash of Chutz La'aretz, it's like he's in Eretz Yisrael. Wherever Klal Yisrael encamped in the Midbar, they were at a place of learning. Klal Yisrael learned all day. They were all in Cairo. Moshe Rabbeinu taught them what he had learned at Sinai. Wherever they went was a Pi Hashem Yachanu. It was a place of Pi Hashem, was a little piece of Eretz Yisrael. They took it with them. And therefore, it was the place of Al-Menos Livnais V'Makayimai. They destroyed in order to rebuild in another location, but the other location was the same Kedushas Eretz Yisrael location. But turning now to the Meraglim. In the parasha of Meraglim, we do not find that they had to go into Eretz Yisrael because of Kedushas Eretz Yisrael. It says the Arvei Nachal, because wherever they were camped in the Midbar, wherever they settled, they were in a place that had Kedushas Eretz Yisrael. Because the shul, the Batei Knesset, the Batei Midrash, is at every single location, had Kedushas Eretz Yisrael. And therefore the Meraglim says, we're not missing Kedushas Eretz Yisrael. Let us stay here in the Midbar. The discussion centered around practical things, the fruits of the land, the fortified cities, and conditioned status quo was never an issue. Obviously, this is a tremendous lesson to those of us who are here in Kutz Laaretz. We're not moving to Eretz Yisrael. We can still have conducive Eretz Yisrael when we enter a Beis HaKnesses and Beis HaMedrash, something we do faithfully. We have to appreciate the Cheshitus of it. We all find that it's easier to learn in a shul or a Beis HaMedrash than to learn in one's home or to learn in one's place of business. It's not for naught that Chazal say the Beis HaKnesses and Beis HaMedrash have conducive Eretz Yisrael. It's not just imagination, it's real. When you pull yourself away, you're tired, you're exhausted, you don't feel like going to learn. When you get to the Beis HaMedrash, the Kedusha there can awaken a person. Of course, the Kofi helps. But the Kedusha there gives the person the vigor, the energy, to be able to absorb the Kedusha in his learning and his davening in shul. Agav, I will mention, but the same kasha with which I began in Parshas Shlach is one which disturbs me in Parshas Vayeshi. Yaakov Avinu asks to be buried in Eretz Yisrael. Rashi gives us three reasons. Because of the kingdom, the life that would come, so that the Egyptians not make his body into an Avodah Zarah, and so that he not suffer the pain of Mechai life, of traveling to Eretz Yisrael at the time of the Kiyas HaMeis. Rashi there, too, seems to be missing the Iker reason, the main reason. Why does a Jew wish to be buried in Eretz Yisrael today? Because of Kedushas Eretz Yisrael, because of the holiness of the land. The sheep there at Masai Amai, we said that the land of Eretz Yisrael is a kapara. It's strange that Rashi does not mention that as one of the reasons for Yaakov to be buried in Eretz Yisrael. It's Baruch Eilon, that's a kashta, with which I will leave you. Let us move on to other points in the pashta. We learn in this week's pashta that the payers of Eretz Yisrael were larger than the payers of Chutz La'aretz. Interesting thing. The Gemara says that after the Churban Beis HaMikdash, the Tam was removed from the payers of Eretz Yisrael. Hatam Nitlameh payers. There's still some taste. But the taste that the fruits of Eretz Yisrael had at the time that the Shina resided there, at the time that there was a Mishkan of Beis HaMikdash, that was something else. But what we remain with is just a shadow of what it once was. We understand this. The Jews are promised entry into Eretz Yisrael to eat Eretz, Kitha, Saira, Gefen, Tein, of a remind. How excited would you be if I told you, come with me, we can go someplace and eat figs, dates, and pomegranates? We don't see the great advantage in eating pomegranates, but they feel figs. You may like them, but they don't stand out to be a promise for which you should want to travel to Eretz Yisrael. Obviously, they once had a greater kedusha. It may be that that is why the payers of Eretz Yisrael are smaller today. Because after the Churban Atam Nikla Mea payers, the quality was taken, perhaps the size as well. This would answer why the share of a kezayin appears from Chazal to be bigger than the olives we eat today. And many people ridicule that. They say, what do you mean? Eat the size of an olive. It may well be that the share of a kezayis as measured based on the other methods of measurement that Chazal employed is larger because the olives were larger. As a matter of fact, the Gemara in the beginning of Sukkah says, Eretz Yisrael, it's a land that they raise, are the shiurim. That its fruits are the shiurim. What do you mean its fruits are the shiurim? The world has fruits. Those are the shiurim. Perhaps its fruits, the fruits of Eretz Yisrael, and the fruits are indeed larger in the time of the Beis HaMikdash, those are the fruits that are shiurei Eretz Yisrael. Let us move on. We have in this parsha the mitzvah of challah. I'd like to talk about a practical occurrence, something that a practical shaila, something that comes up regarding challah. The most common challah a rav has today is when a woman is baking at home, separates challah, puts it aside, and later finds that the dough which she separated for challah somehow made its way back into the bread, the challah, the cake that she's baking. What do we do? The woman is not in there then. She revoked her designation of challah retroactively. The challah now is not challah. And she separates challah once again from the food, even after it's baked, one can still separate challah. I saw an extraordinary kiddush in Rav Chaim Knievsky Sefer Derech Emunah, Chelek Bey, the second volume of Derech Emunah, which is Hilchos Truma, Perek Dalit, or his Kuf Bey Bov. And here he brings an extraordinary kiddush, Shein Chazenish, as Halacha L'maisa. And that is, and in such a situation where a woman or any shliach separates challah, she's actually separating challah from the dough, which is legally the dough of her husband. Her husband, in effect, makes her a shliach to separate the dough. Dr. Chazaynish, and this is based on earlier sources, that the person who has to be matched in there is not the woman. It's the man who is his shliach that separated the challah. And since this is a chiddush, an issue of question, Chazaynish says that they should both be matched in there, or the woman should make her husband a shliach. The only person who could be a shliach for Taras Nadarim is a husband for a wife. And let the husband be matir neder for both of them. And this is an extraordinary chiddush, but this is the psak that is brought here in the footnote from the Chazaynish. Now, many of you have already come to me, and I've been matir neder for the wife alone. I would point out that the Pesachei Tshuva in Yeradei Asim and Shin Lamed Aleph, Shivkat Nvav, B'Shem the Chassam Sefer, says that it is enough for the woman alone to be matir neder. Nevertheless, when we have the pshat of the Chazaynish and the Sefer Malai Ha'imer, which is quoted there, that the husband should be matir neder as well, in the future will be neder, that will be my practice. And so, Avart HaKedushas, what they can see is, Avart on the Shir of Akazayas, Avart on Challah. I'll leave you with two questions regarding the end of the parasha, which is, of course, Parasha Tzitzis. The tzitzis have eight chutim, eight strings. Rashi mysteriously says that these eight strings are keneged, they symbolize the 8 days from Yetzias Mitzrayim until Kriyas Yamsuf, until the splitting of the sea. Kela Atzuma, the splitting of the sea was on the 7th day of Pesach, as Rashi himself says in Bishalach, Perek Yedala Pasagei, Shvi Shal Pesach Hayim. There were only 7 days from Yetzias Mitzrayim the splitting of the Yam Suf inclusive. And therefore, Tzorachi and Gogol, what is Rashi saying? 8 chutim can they get 8 days? Perhaps, somehow, the halacha that when you make 8 chutim, if one rips and you're left with just a little bit of the 8th chut, that's good enough, may somehow be connected to the fact that there were 7 days. And the 8th, somehow a little bit of an 8th day, I don't know. I don't know how to make the cheshbon. But this is a Tzorachian on Rashi. I'd like to mention a second Tzorachian. There is a shita that nowadays that we don't have tcheles, we should not wear tzitzis at all. We should not wear the love on the white at all. Tcheles ma'akev es halavan. This is the opinion of Rebbe in the Mishnah, and the Baal Amor paskens this way. However, normative halacha, we all pasken like the Chachamim. And we all wear love on, we wear the white tzitzis, despite the fact that we do not have tcheles, or at least most of Klal Yisrael, for most of its history, has not had tcheles. There is a chumrah, the amachmirim, who will not wear tzitzis out in the street on Shabbos, based on the shita of the Baal Amor. They argue that according to the Baal Amor, the tzitzis must have tcheles, and therefore the white strings would be carrying on Shabbos. It says in Shulchan Aruch that if you have tzitzis that are psulim, the strings are possible, is considered carrying to wear them out in the street. Those strings don't belong there. They argue the same thing here. If you hold tzitzis not give us a lovan on Shabbos, wearing the lovan itself would be carrying. Ad kan kumrazu. I have a kasha on this for a long time. It's true. If tzitzis are possible, one is carrying. Nevertheless, even if it's Shemayim, they're pasken like Rebbe. And one needs tcheles. Nevertheless, wearing 8 strings that are white should not be carrying. Because carrying is based on what people consider a tashit. What people consider something that belongs on a beged. Even if it were an erroneous tzak, pasken like the Chachamim. Nevertheless, it cannot be carrying. It's no different than any design a person had on a baguette, which is the way he intended it to be. And therefore, this Qumrah, which is well known in brisk circles in Eretz Yisrael, seems to be technically inaccurate. And so, one Sarachin on Rashi, one Sarachin on Brisk Chumras, should leave you want to talk about at the Shabbos table. Wishing everyone an absolutely wonderful Shabbos.